was like, all right, if Halloween, yeah, we're good on that. Two, I get it. Three, we just watched. So I started at four. Four and five are the Daniel Harris ones. Six is the Paul Rudd one.
Okay.
Seven is the Josh Harnett, Michelle Williams.
Yeah, that's H2O.
Yes. Yeah. Eight is Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, Resurrection.
Holy fuck, are they stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Like, four and five, I'm okay with. The shit they do in the Paul Rudd one is so mind-numbingly fucking retarded.
Yeah.
And I watched the producer's cut because that one's so much fucking different than the theatrical. And that one's fucking stupid, too.
Yeah.
Right after that, they're just like, okay, basically, like they did with Jason Goes to Hell, everything we just did, ignore that.
Mm-hmm.
None of that shit matters. There's none of this rune shit that they actually set up the movie before. Oh, my God, that franchise. What they did to that one.
Oh, yeah. They butchered it.
Gobble, gobble, it's Movies On Up. They've created a mobster. I'm Dave, joined by the Native Americans to my exploring pilgrims.
Oh, that sounds gross. I was thinking, like, I am the shirtless Native American. What was the...
You're the Native Americans to my pilgrims.
No, no, from Thanksgiving. Like, the topless
pilgrims. Oh, the topless pilgrims.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be.
He is Ryan, I am Dave. We are Movies On Up. Our tagline this week, they've created a mobster. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, Twitter @moviesonup. If you're right and we pick you, you will get a very lovely Thanksgiving prize pack that you will be very thankful for.
And we will be thankful that you're playing.
So I'll be thankful if both of our voices make it to the end of this episode.
It's been a long month.
It's been a long month. A lot of November stuff going on, so we're kind of at the end of our ropes right now. This is the point in the episode where we tell you what our list is.
If we could figure out what our list is.
I don't think either of us know what our list is. So
no,
I want to go through our criteria. This could be like a buffet of Movies On Up lists.
Cornucopia.
Like, yes. I don't know if you know the story of Thanksgiving, but you had the pilgrims. They're different than the Indians, and they all came together to eat. So I thought, what about a movie of mixing it up? And I think that's exactly what I called it.
That is what you called
favorite
it.
Favorite movies about mixing it up. What's that mean? I don't know. What did it mean to you?
I was trying to decipher exactly what that meant. But then it stuck with me, the phrase you used. Movies about mixing it up. And I thought, well, I'll tell you what that means to me. That means fighting. And then I thought about Thanksgiving. And a lot of people that have large families and these families get together, there's some fighting going on. So I thought, well, that's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my five favorite movies about fighting. Not necessarily family fighting, though there is some of that, but just about fighting, scrapping, beating dudes or chicks up, whatever.
See, I had went from unlikely pairs, somebody from this side of the tracks to this side of the tracks, and they have to work together to meet a common goal. I didn't want to do like love stories.
Trading Places.
Trading Places was one of those that came up. That's just so broad, and it was so hard. So I thought, okay, what if I went through about 10 iterations of this list, and then I thought, okay, Indians and Pilgrims, they were different. So my list was basically I went interspecies, mixing it up, kind of.
Interspecies erotica?
I wish. Some of these I would watch. Movies where maybe a human pairs up with a non-human to accomplish something.
Like Avatar.
Yeah, I guess. That would probably work.
All right. Yeah. I'm just trying to wrap my – I need to wrap my head around your list because I didn't have to do your
list. So these lists, I think it's safe to say we ain't going to have no crossover.
We're mixing it up with these two lists.
These two lists. I brought stuffing. You brought mashed potatoes.
Or something that doesn't belong there at all. Like I brought fireworks.
I brought tacos. You brought pumpkin pie.
Yeah. So I guess my fifth favorite taco, my fifth favorite movie about fighting.
Mixing it up.
And there is some mixing it up karate style in this one. It is Newt Arnold's 1988 masterpiece, Bloodsport, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, Donald Gibb, and Forrest Whitaker. I'm not sure that this movie gets its due when it comes to fighting flicks in much the same way that I'm not sure that JCVD gets his due as a martial artist. I mean, everybody thinks of Bruce Lee and Enter the Dragon. People think of Chuck Norris. For whatever reason, people seem to think of Steven Seagal.
Jeff Speakman.
Jeff Speakman.
Michael Dudikoff.
Sammo Hung. There are so many guys that you get to before Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I don't know why, because the guy's pretty badass. Not maybe necessarily the most badass. I mean, I like my Jet Li. I like my Tony Jaa. But in terms of a movie that I can follow and understand and doesn't have any elephants in it at all, Bloodsport is, for me, it's one of the first ones I saw, and it's still to this day one of the best. What I like about this movie is that it stays in its lane. It doesn't try and have like any other plot lines that it's really trying to fill you in on. Bruce Lee's not undercover trying to root out some kind of crime. No. This movie is about a karate tournament, much the same way The Karate Kid is about a karate tournament, but with much better choreographed fight scenes and some training montages that would make Rocky jealous. I love me some Kumite. I love me some Bloodsport from 1988.
My number five movie about mixing it up is about an old dude who his family doesn't think he can take care of himself, so they hire an unlikely pair of a robot to come take care of him, and him and the robot bond and decide to become robbers because he's a former jewelry thief. So they decide to pull off jewelry heists.
I don't think they decide. I think Frank kind of decides.
Yeah, but Robot goes with them in 2012's Robot and Frank, starring Frank Langella, James Marsden, Liv Tyler, Susan Sarandon, and Peter Sarsgaard as the voice of Robot. This is one of those movies where I was thinking, like, unlikely pairs that go and do something together. Like, he didn't want this robot, but he found a use for this robot, so they just rob places. And it's a... I like this movie a lot.
Really good movie.
Really good movie. And this is kind of where I started to think it's not the robot, it's not a human. So
not a pilgrim, not an Indian.
Yeah, so I went there. Langella's great in it. I really like Sarsgaard as the voice. It's not the kind of movie you expect, I don't think. Like if you, it's one of those that I want you to go in not knowing what it's about, even though I just laid out the plot for you.
It's about a guy that steals jewels with a robot.
Yes, but if you just go into it as like, oh, it's a guy whose family loves him and want to do what they can to take care of him.
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good, it takes a nice little turn for you. So.
Yeah, I think it does. Really good movie. Not on my list anywhere. My number four movie about mixing it up, about fighting, starts a little bit of a run here that I'm going to have. I guess it's a really short run because there's only five movies. The next two movies are boxing movies. And I've often said on this podcast that I don't love the sport of boxing, but I love boxing movies. I had a boxing movie on my list last week. But it's the stories behind the movies that usually kind of get me the most. And my number four and my number three are both stories of real life boxers, and it's not the ones you're thinking of. I think maybe it's just that underdog story. You have real downtrodden folks with some hard stories to tell, and through boxing or whatever, they're able to kind of elevate themselves, and this is absolutely no exception. It is Ron Howard's 2005 Cinderella Man, starring Russell Crowe, Renee Zellweger, and Paul Giamatti. This is the story of James Braddock, who kind of clawed his way out of the gutter during the Depression. I mean, as low as Rocky falls in the original movie, just being kind of a hired thug for the mob, I think Braddock is much, much worse off. He's completely flat broke, and he's got a family that he has to support. He's literally begging for change from some folks that he knows. But I think in true American fashion, he pulls himself up by the bootstraps and becomes an inspiration, not just, you know, to those of us watching the movie, but for people that actually lived in the same time and watched and listened, more specifically, and read about the rebirth of his career. He had already kind of been a washed out boxer at one point, and he got back into it and eventually became the champion. I think that was kind of an inspiration to a lot of people. And say what you want about Russell Crowe, but he is a talented actor, and I think that he brought definitely brought the physicality that you need to play a champion boxer. But what surprised me was the heart. That I wasn't sure that he was going to be capable of, but I think he did it really, really well in this movie. You root for Braddock, and at the end of the day, that's what makes it a great story, is that, you know, right along with all the people in the crowd cheering for him, you know, you're at home doing the same thing because you don't want Renee Zellweger to starve. Just want her to be able to eat.
She does need to eat. My number four, no boxing in it, but there is some quacking. It is 1986's Howard the Duck. See, I can do segues too. Widely known as one of the worst movies ever, one of the biggest flops in Hollywood history, but it kicked off the Marvel Universe. So this kicked off phase one back in 1986 that built up.
That's one way to put it.
The Avengers. I love this movie. I loved it as a child. 7-year-old me went to this movie and loved it. I didn't know what a duck condom was, but I didn't care because everything else made me laugh. Leah Thompson, gorgeous. I loved her in this. It's a dumb movie. I still rewatch it at least once a year or so because I still, there's enough of it there that I like. I like Chip Zine as Howard the Duck. Jeffrey Jones, his whole character's angle is a little weird, especially when you consider he's a child molester. But I like this movie. And this is one of those Howard gets thrown into a world where he doesn't belong, and Leah Thompson, you know, bonds with them, and then they come together to accomplish something, which is stop an alien invasion of the planet Earth. So I'm going Howard the Duck, because if they could sit down and have dinner together, that's something we should all be thankful for, that people are able to look aside their differences and eat with a duck.
I think it fits your list. I'm just angry that it's higher than Robot and Frank. I don't want to live in that world where somebody, even if it's you, thinks that Howard the Duck is a better movie than Robot and Frank. It's not like you had to move it around because there was some crossover. You made the conscientious decision to put Howard. That just sucks. I don't like you very much right now. That's for damn sure. But number three is the Robert Wise classic from 1956. Somebody Up There Likes Me, starring Paul Newman, Pierre Angeli, and Everett Sloan. This is another boxing biopic. This time it's about Rocky Graziano. Whereas a lot of the hardships that Braddock suffers in Cinderella Man, the ones that Graziano goes through are largely his own doing. He's kind of a ne'er-do-well, but played very, very well by a super young Paul Newman. James Dean was supposed to be Graziano, but he died before filming could start. So MGM was like, well, shit, now what are we going to do? So they went with this kid that nobody had really ever heard of, Paul Newman. And obviously that dude is tremendous. And he was really, really good in this. There's a lot to the story. Like, if you don't really know the story of Graziano, I mean, he had ties with the mob, did some jail time, was drafted into the service, came back, threw a fight, went on the lam, went on trial. A lot of stuff moving in this movie, and not necessarily the boxing is not front and center. But I think that if anything, it's probably underrated because of its age, not because of the quality. I think it's a great example of some of the best that Hollywood was doing in the, I would say, mid-50s to early 60s. It's just a great snapshot of the kind of films they were making at that time. And I think that people our age maybe have missed the Paul Newman train. You know, if you've gone back and seen Cool Hand Luke or The Color of Money, you know, those are great too. But really go even further back and check out really where he kind of got his start in Somebody Up There Likes Me. I think it's a great movie. And, you know, if you're a sports fan at all, the story of Rocky Graziano is kind of neat to check out.
You want a bonus top five?
Sports gambling.
Off the top of my head?
Sure.
Top five boxing movies, since you're on a boxing kick.
Yeah, sure.
Digstown, number one. Gladiator, starring James Marshall, Cuba Gooding Jr., number two. Great White Hype, with Peter Berg and Damon Wayans, Sammy Jackson, number three. Ali, probably, just because I love Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
Snatch? Can I count Snatch?
'Cause
the bare knuckle scenes are fantastic.
Yeah, those are good. Raging Bull, maybe? I don't
Rocky
know.
Rocky Balboa, probably. Or Rocky II.
The one where he wins?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are so many boxing movies that are really, really good.
Those are my top five. Top of my head.
Yeah. Okay. Million Dollar Baby, not making an appearance.
No. There's no Digstown.
No, it's no Digstown. There's a lot. The documentary, When We Were Kings.
That's phenomenal. That's, if I counted documentaries, yeah. that would be up there probably one or two, because that's phenomenal.
Hurricane. Not really a boxing movie.
About a boxer.
Right. Another good story about a boxer.
A fighter.
That goes to jail.
The fighter.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. That almost made my list, but I left it off because I didn't want to do just boxing movies. There are so many different, like, fighting that I wanted to get in there. I had to leave
what
off.
Was that Channing Tatum fighting?
Yeah.
Was that Channing Tatum Terrence Howard?
I will find out.
I'll look up. My number three movie about mixing it up, it's kind of a Romeo and Juliet tale, but interspecies. And without the love story and the suicide, it is 2010's How to Train Your Dragon. Almost left this off because we've talked about this movie so many times. We've raved about it any chance we've gotten. But I like the idea of Hiccup is raised by these manly Vikings, but he's essentially a techie. It's like if you're a military child and all you care about is tablets and cell phones and computers, that's the equivalent of this. But yet he's supposed to hunt dragons, and he comes up with a techie way to hunt one, and he gets one that nobody's ever caught before, but you know, can't kill it. And then turns out there's a greater goal that they need to achieve, so they come together to achieve a greater purpose, and then carry it on to How to Train Your Dragon 2 and the upcoming How to Train Your Dragon 3. But that's my number three about mixing it up.
Yeah, Fighting, 2009. Channing Tatum, Terrence Howard, Luis Guzman.
I wouldn't have guessed the third one.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. That one's more bare knuckle than boxing.
What was the... There's another, like...
Red Belt.
No, Red Belt's Chewy.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were going to say.
No.
I was gonna say it's Red Belt.
There's another one that the guy... He's like a Cam Gigande kind of guy. We're off tangent here, but I forget what it was. Never mind. Oh, Never Back Down. That was a bad one with Amber Heard. Amber Heard's in it, and I forget the name of the dude, but he didn't blow up, and then he made another movie a few years later that basically just looked like Never Back Down. Again.
Whatever you do, still don't
back down.
And
actually, I think
down.
Michael Jai White starred in Never Back Down 2.
Electric Boogaloo. My number two, we're kind of scooting right along.
Sean Ferris.
No Sean Ferris in this movie, but it does star two of your all-time man crushes. It's an MMA movie. It is the only MMA movie on my list, and it's probably the best one of them all. I mentioned before about how Thanksgiving, sometimes families fight. This is a perfect example of when two brothers fight in Gavin O'Connor's Warrior from 2011, starring Tom Hardy, Joel Edgerton, Nick Nolte. Do you want to go ahead?
No, you go on. I'll let you finish.
Okay. This does break the streak of boxing flicks I have. As I mentioned, it's an MMA flick. In addition to the fights, which are really well done, brutal in many instances, and suspenseful in particular. The Edgerton fights are a bit more suspenseful. The Hardy fights are a bit more on the brutal side. You add in a healthy dose of family drama. You've got brothers trying to, not necessarily trying to reconcile, but there's the idea that maybe they will, or maybe they could reconcile, and a shitty father who's trying to be a little bit less shitty. You throw in a dead best friend angle and a trying to keep your house angle and a tournament that kind of does put the kumite to shame, all kind of wrapping everything up into one tense explosion of shirtless men and fisticuffs. A lot of moving parts here, heavy on the personal drama. I think they do an excellent job of, you know, you find yourself torn between the two Conlon brothers, much like Team Edward and Team Jacob. Who are you supposed to root for between Joel Edgerton and Tom Hardy? I'm sure that that was quite the unenviable position for you. Torn between two lovers, Dave.
That movie is so good. Like,
it is. Real good.
It's not a boxing movie. It's an MMA movie, or else it would be higher than every movie. Maybe Digstown right. would have beat it.
Oh, are you nuts?
I love Digstown. This movie is so good because it looks like just a punch-punch-kick movie, like on the surface, but then you get into it and it's really good human story. Like, you have Joel Edgerton, who his family's falling apart. Like, he's trying to live on a teacher salary and it's not going well.
And then he gets suspended for fighting outside of strip clubs.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have that human story. You have the Tom Hardy story where he's just trying to do right by his friend, and in the Nick Nolte story where it's like, yeah, neither of my dudes really turned out, like neither of them are at the high point. It's just so good. It's so well acted. I mean, I love Edgerton. I love Hardy. I think they're two phenomenal actors that are just compelling to watch. Like, I think anything they do, they're really compelling. And you give them such a human story. The fighting angle, yeah, the movie's about the fighting, but I think that's like second fiddle almost. Like, it's...
It is. It's like I said about the boxing movies. It's the story. It's the human story.
Like Bloodsport. Bloodsport's about Jean-Claude Van Damme kicking people. Jean-Claude Van Damme not kicking people, you could fast forward through those parts. But
right.
Warrior, it's like the meat is the not kick, kick, punch, punch parts.
It's why they're kick, kick, punch, punching.
Yeah.
That's what really drives the movie. The kick, kick, punch, punch parts are great.
Really good.
And
I mean, you got to get through some, you got to spend, it doesn't make sense how they both end up in the tournament. Like, you got to get past that.
Well,
do their best to make it make sense, but in the scheme of things, you got to set aside some disbelief.
It's a bit of a stretch, but I'll buy it.
It's a great movie. My number two, I think, also a great movie about mixing it up. And I've had a theme about a dude or a human teaming up with a non-human to accomplish something, like solve a crime in 1988's Who Framed Roger Rabbit. You have Bob Hoskins teaming up with Charles Fleischer's Roger Rabbit. And Jessica Rabbit, to an extent, to find out who be killing all these tunes. It's such a good movie. Like, even to this day, my kids love it. Like, it's one of those, I love a movie that I loved when I was younger, that I can watch now and my kids love it as much as I did. And that's what Who Framed Roger Rabbit is. So good. The reveal at the end, like, you have a legit good villain. As far as, like, kids' movies go.
Christopher Lloyd's, like, a perfect... I don't want to call him a cartoony villain because I guess the movie is part cartoony,
yeah.
But like for that character, he's perfect.
He's perfect. And he's for like a family kids movie, like he's a brutal villain.
Yeah.
And I really like it. And I really like the dynamic. And Bob Hoskins, so good in this movie because you got to consider what he's acting against 90% of the time is nothing. It's one thing to pretend you're scared of a ball on a tennis or a tennis ball on a stick. It's different to have conversation with something that's not there, but to have comedic timing with something that's not there is a whole other thing. And Bob Hoskins nailed it. Just the distraction at the end when he starts singing, I love that. There's a part in Guardians of the Galaxy that Who Framed Roger Rabbit is the first thing that came to mind because it's very. Very similar.
There's a couple references to your list in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
But that's my number
two
movie about mixing it up.
My number one, the reason I left The Fighter off the list is because I would have thought it would be odd to go from, I don't know that The Fighter I would have had it above Warrior. But if I did, I would have gone from The Fighter to The Wrestler, Darren Aronofsky's 2008 joint starring Mickey Rourke, Marissa Tomei, and Evan Rachel Wood. In kind of a weird parallel, Mickey Rourke's acting comeback was sort of housed in the comeback attempt of this washed-up wrestler, Randy the Ram Robinson. I think that maybe of all the people in Hollywood, Rourke was sort of uniquely qualified to play this character. His real-life story is pretty similar to what Randy the Ram's character was. Mickey Rourke actually was a failed boxer. He lost a good portion of his career when he just decided to be a pretty below average boxer and get his face all messed up. And then coming out and really trying to get that second chance and prove, you know, that he is a pretty worthy actor, the same way that the Ram is trying to prove himself to his estranged daughter. There's really only about 12 minutes of actual fighting / wrestling in the movie. It's definitely more of a character study of this like broken down guy trying to not necessarily relive the glory days, but at least, you know, prove that he still has something that he can contribute despite the circumstances he kind of finds himself in. in a way that maybe Rocky II might uplift you when he wins the belt and, you know, lets Adrian know he did it. This movie, perhaps in typical Aronofsky fashion, is not as uplifting as you might imagine or as you might hope. It's borderline depressing. But I think the fact that, you know, this is definitely a story that seems real, and that I grew up watching wrestling, and I think that a lot of the guys that I watched as a kid are probably in similar positions as you find Mickey Rourke's character in the movie, going from, you know, one of the most recognized people in the world to working at a deli counter. Again, it's the human story, and the ending is pretty interesting. It's one of those that they actually filmed it at a wrestling event, so the people watched Mickey Rourke actually wrestle a match, and they did film an ending. They just didn't put it in the movie. So it kind of leaves you, depending on, you know, what kind of a jerk you are deep down, as to how things end up for Randy the Ram. But it's a really compelling performance from Rourke. You can't look away from it. Whether you like wrestling or you don't, it's irrelevant for this movie. Like I said, it isn't the main gist of the story. It's really how this character is not adjusting very well to life after whatever your chosen profession is.
My number one is where I get, just remember, it's Thanksgiving. We're supposed to be happy. So be thankful for that we have this podcast, and don't be angry at your co-host when I say that my number one is a three-way tie, because it's three movies that absolutely would have made my top five, but they're all the same thing. What I love about them is the same thing. They're about people from two, or a dude and an alien race that they maybe don't get along with that great, coming together to accomplish something.
So why don't you just not put Howard the Duck on? Then you could have put two of these on. It would have been fine.
District 9, Alien Nation, and Enemy Mine. All three movies, they all have racist parallels or racism parallels, to where two races that are different.
I mean, they're allegories for racism.
They're very much allegories for racism. And Enemy Mine was more, they were straight up fighting. Like, the one is, hey, we're going to take your land. And then Louis Gossett Jr. is like, no, you're not going to take my land. And then it's like, let's eat dinner together. And Dennis Quaid, Louis Gossett Jr. have their, they save each other's lives multiple times and realize, like, hey, we don't have to take your land. Why don't we coexist? And Alien Nation and District 9, it's Alien Nation more so, we're trying to coexist, but yet there are people resistant to it.
They were more successful in their integration
than in District 9.
Yeah.
Because District 9, it was like, you can have this little area. That's it. That's it. And we're going to keep you down. We're going to push you down. We're going to, what's that thing called?
Oppress?
Apartheid.
Apartheid. Yeah. What's that thing called? Yeah.
I mean, I like all those movies because they all hit the emotional chords of, these aren't two people that just don't get along. They're two that really hate each other. Like, you have, you know, Charlton Copley's character in District 9, who is in charge of basically making them feel like they're scum, basically reminding them, like, hey, we need, you know, you have to play by our rules. You have this. And now he needs one of them to help him. Enemy Mine, they, two enemies that go down in the same firefight, have to need each other to survive. And in Alien Nation, it's a little different, but it's about coexisting. And instead of just saying, hey, we're going to take your land and you ain't going to say nothing about it, it shows that they can coexist. And you may have some hiccups every once in a while, but ultimately we can coexist. And in the end, that's what we should be thankful for.
Is that we can coexist?
Yeah.
And that we don't spend our Thanksgiving beating the shit out of each other.
Yes.
Or if you do, I mean,
you can at least get along afterwards.
Hopefully. Hug it out afterwards. So that's our Thanksgiving extravaganza.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Yeah, I think we kind of knew it was a weird one. We knew when we quote-unquote decided to do this that it was like, well, unless we come up with a better idea, we'll just go ahead and do this. And I'm not going to lie to you, didn't even try and think of a better idea.
Yeah, no, we just kind of went with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we hope you enjoyed our Thanksgiving episode and our November. Am I hosting this one? I'm hosting this
one.
I think
so.
Yeah, so I should close it out. But that was our Thanksgiving episode. If we're still doing this show next year,
happy,
please send us an idea for Thanksgiving, because we have no idea. So we're not just doing two completely different lists. But at least we didn't have crossover. So
How about we do like movies about
Jell-O
eating, getting eaten? I don't know.
Yeah.
This is how we plan our list, folks. This is a little.
It's usually not live on the air.
This is how the sausage is made. But we're planning for next year already.
Yeah, but hit us up, movies on up. Let us know your favorite movies about mixing it up.
Whatever that means to you.
Make up your own rules for it. Let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, @moviesonup on the Twitter. That's it. Next week is October. Or no, it's not
next
October.
Next week is December.
It's December. So we'll have, I don't know what. We haven't planned that far ahead yet.
Because it's October.
It's still October. Spoiler alert. But we might have December recorded by the time you hear this. Who knows? But
I certainly hope so.
But that's it for now. Until whenever.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday.
Gobble, gobble.
Keep it up.